Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 145 for the week of January 17th, 2022. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Okay, before we launch into the data, there were a few news items that we should cover. At least one of them I think you're probably already familiar with, but let's cover it anyway. And that is that on Thursday of last week, the U.S. Supreme Court stayed an emergency temporary standard, or ETS, that would have required employers with 100 or more employees to ensure that all employees are either vaccinated against coronavirus or undergo weekly COVID testing. A federal appeals court had lifted a stay, but the Supreme Court expedited a review, and the final decision, as I said, came out last week. Now, the bottom line is, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because at this point, what difference does it make? But the Supreme Court said that COVID essentially is not a workplace hazard. That's within the jurisdiction of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Basically, just because people have jobs and face this risks of COVID at work, even though they also face it elsewhere, that would significantly expand OSHA's regulatory authority, and there's no clear congressional authorization for that. And, you know, in trucking and shippers, a lot of people had raised alarms over what the effect of a mandate would have really through the entire economy, but especially in the supply chain, which of course has been hit hard for other reasons. Interestingly, earlier the same day of the Supreme Court decision, the trucking industry had actually won somewhat of a victory, as OSHA had issued guidance that basically said that solo truck drivers generally would not have to comply with the vaccination or testing requirements as long as the time they spent indoors with others was minimal while on the job. Of course, other workers in trucking still would have been subject to the rule. But again, all of that is now moot because the Supreme Court has blocked the ETS entirely. Now, technically, this is a stay of the emergency, it's an emergency stay of the rule. Technically, there would be the opportunity to go back through, but with a 6-3 decision of the Supreme Court, there's really not much point in it, and there's no suggestion out of the Biden administration that they'll do so. Now, although employers do not have to deal with the issues involving vaccine or testing within the U.S., cross-border trucking operations as of this weekend, effective January 15th, in fact, are now facing a vaccine mandate in going into Canada. The mandate could lead to temporary or maybe even longer delays as carriers and drivers transition to this process. Also, there will be, I'm sure, some drivers who will not be willing to do it. Should not ultimately have a huge effect on the market, but it's just one more thing in the short term that probably will keep things disrupted, keep things slower, and add to the issues. But basically, U.S. drivers unable to establish full vaccination status will be denied entry into Canada. Unvaccinated Canadian truck drivers returning to Canada from the U.S. will be subject to testing and quarantine requirements, but they're not going to be denied entry. Interestingly, this kind of went back and forth last week as there was some information that Canada was going to drop all of that for unvaccinated Canadian truck drivers, but then they clarified that no, indeed, testing and quarantine would apply. Now, this coming weekend, January 22nd, there's an expectation, although we haven't seen anything really formal on this, that the U.S. is going to require foreign nationals, including truck drivers, entering the U.S. to provide proof of vaccination. And so that'll have a similar impact for Canadian drivers coming into the U.S. Okay, one final piece of news. This is more, even more specific to trucking. Well, I guess that's relatively specific, although it applied to everybody in the case of the cross-border. But the FMCSA, or the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, has adopted a pilot apprenticeship program for interstate truck drivers under 21. This isn't new. We knew this was coming. It was in the infrastructure law that was enacted in November, and it was also in the White House plan that we discussed a few weeks ago in this podcast to move forward quickly with this younger driver program. Now, there's a Federal Register notice that was published November 14th that outlines all the requirements, qualifications, reporting obligations for both carriers and the apprentices, in other words, drivers who would seek to drive interstate under 21. FMCSA is not accepting applications yet. One of the key things that they're going to be requiring is that carriers participate in an approved registered apprenticeship program. We talked a little bit about that when we talked about the White House plan. If you want to read more, you can look at the Federal Register for November 14th. You can go to federalregister.gov. Look for that date, look for FMCSA, and you'll see the notice. But when FMCSA start taking applications, they will provide a notice on their website, and of course, we'll talk about it here. Okay, let's move on, and let's talk about the spot market for the week ended January 14th, which is week two of the year. Sharply stronger flatbed loadings and rates were principally responsible for an increase in spot volume and only a small decline in rates. Total volume rose 6.1%, while dry van volume was barely above flat for the week. But dry van and refrigerated metrics otherwise were weaker than in the prior week. Now, of course, as I'm sure many of you know, we saw widespread winter weather over the weekend, especially in the eastern part of the U.S., that could result in bigger changes in spot metrics for the coming week. Okay, let's look at volume by segment. Dry van load postings ticked up 0.3% after the big jump of nearly 46% following the holidays. Dry van volume was the strongest on record, aside for a week in mid-February of 2021. Load postings were about 87% higher than the same week last year and more than triple the five-year average. Refrigerated volume fell more than 12% from the prior week's level, which, as you recall from last week, was a record. Refrigerated volume was nearly 128% higher than the same 2021 week and about 223% higher than the five-year average. Flatbed load postings jumped nearly 22%, and that was after a surge of 63% following the holidays. Indeed, flatbed volume was the strongest since late June of last year. Load postings were nearly 31% higher than the same week last year and about 151% above the five-year average. Okay, let's talk rates. Total spot rates declined nearly 4 cents, were nearly 26% higher than the same 2021 week. Rates excluding fuel were about 20% higher year over year. Dry van rates declined more than 2 cents and were about 25% higher year over year. Refrigerated rates fell about 11 cents and were about 41% higher than in the same 2021 week. Flatbed rates rose 6 cents, that's the strongest gain since the week before Labor Day, and were 21% higher year over year. Now, normally this is where we would discuss fuel prices. However, because of the holiday, fuel prices were delayed by a day, and rather than hold up the podcast, we'll just omit it. Given what we're seeing in crude prices, however, I think it would be fair to say that we are likely to see another increase after the nearly 4.5 cent increase the week before. May or may not be stronger, but probably by the time you hear this, you will know the answer to that question. We'll talk about it next week. So let's move on, and we'll talk about the rest of what we have to talk about this week. So let's start with retail sales. Retail sales really are a lesson in how we sometimes need to look at data from different perspectives to get a complete picture. You'll recall from last week's podcast, we talked about how the payroll job growth was weak, but the total job growth was strong. We had something similar this time. Seasonally adjusted retail and food service sales fell 1.9%, but on a not seasonally adjusted basis, we saw a 10% increase to a record level by far. Now, December unadjusted sales are always very strong. They're almost always 10% or higher. But it is notable that, if you look at the raw data, December was a very strong month, the strongest ever for, absolute levels of sales. Now, another factor calling for some nuance in the analysis of retail sales, especially in the context of freight demand, is inflation. According to the St. Louis Fed, seasonally adjusted retail and food service sales, as adjusted by the Consumer Price Index, fell 2.4% in December. In November, nominal sales had been up 0.2%, but real or CPI-adjusted sales fell 0.6%. Seasonally adjusted unit sales, therefore, in other words, what we would care about when we look at freight demand, therefore would have been weaker in November and December than implied by the sort of nominal or the headline sale headline number that you see. On an unadjusted basis, the only retail sectors to see month-over-month declines were building materials and garden supply dealers and also gas stations. On the other hand, on a seasonally adjusted basis, all sectors saw declines except for miscellaneous food retailers, health and personal care stores, and building materials and garden supply dealers. In fact, the auto industry is one of the stronger segments, relatively speaking, as seasonally adjusted sales fell just 0.4%. Excluding motor vehicle and parts, retail and food service sales fell 2.3% seasonally adjusted. Now, non-store retail is one example of how supply chain challenges and consumer perceptions of them might have affected the timing of purchases. Media reports last fall warned of holiday retail shortages. Seasonally adjusted non-store retail sales rose strongly in October, as did total retail sales, but they were down in November and December. In fact, the 8.7% decline in December non-store retail sales was the largest of all retail sectors. But again, quite likely part of this is because people who otherwise would have bought normally in December ended up buying in October or sometimes even earlier because they were afraid they wouldn't be able to get the product they were looking for. Okay, let's talk about the industrial sector a little before we move on and talking about prices. The industrial sector changed little during December, dipped just 0.1%. A 2% gain in mining offset losses of 0.3% for manufacturing and 1.5% for utilities. Motor vehicle and parts manufacturing output fell 1.3%. For the fourth quarter as a whole, industrial production rose at an annual rate of 4%. In December, it was 0.6% higher than it was during the pre-pandemic month of February 2020, seasonally adjusted. November had been the first month during which industrial production was stronger than in February of 2020. Manufacturing output was 1.5% ahead of February of 2020, but motor vehicle and parts output was down 6.5% relative to that pre-pandemic month. Okay, let's talk about prices. So The consumer price index continues to see gains that are stronger than typical prior to the pandemic. The CPI for all items increased 0.5% in December. That growth is down from 9/10 in November and is below some of the big gains that we had seen earlier in 2021. It is strong again by historical standards, and of course, it's coming on top of some large increases. So there's a compounding effect there. The increase in the CPI, including or excluding the volatile food and energy sectors, was 0.6%, and that is on par with recent gains, although not as strong as what we'd seen last spring, right after the stimulus. Still, the gain was far larger than the long-run average of 0.2%. The all-items CPI increase in 2021 as a whole was 7%. That's the strongest rolling month gain since June of 82. Excluding food and energy, the CPI was up 5.5% in 2021. That's the largest 12-month increase since February of 1991. Okay, let's talk a little bit about producer inflation. Producer price index for final demand ticked up 0.2% in December. That's the smallest increase in more than a year, although it does follow strong increases in every other month during 2021. The 12-month change was 9.7%. That's the highest since the Bureau of Labor Statistics began calculating that metric in 2010. Let's talk about freight transportation and truck equipment. The PPIs for freight transportation services generally changed little during December. I won't go through all of them. You'll see charts in the slide deck if you're interested. Not really much to note, although freight brokerage was up 5%, which was a fairly significant gain, although not by any stretch the largest of 2021. Also unchanged was the heavy truck PPI, but the trailer producer price index rose 3%. That's the third largest increase on record, and it's also the third largest increase of 2021. Let's wrap up with something we don't talk about very often, but there's been some interesting movement, and that is mortgage rates. So we've had tight inventories and soaring prices for homes. That has been a headwind. But one thing that has been a strength for a very long time has been attractive financing. But we're seeing some changes there as well. According to Freddie Mac, the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose nearly a quarter point during the week into January 13th for the largest gain since March of 2020. Over the past 3 weeks, mortgage rates have risen 0.4 point. Now, Freddie Mac attributed the recent gains to faster than expected monetary policy, or at least an expectation of that, in response to the inflation I just talked about, and also the uncertainty in labor and supply chains that, of course, we've seen. Rates generally have been around or below 3% since mid-2020, but the 30-year rate in the latest week was the highest since May. So let's recap before we close out. The Supreme Court blocked the planned COVID vaccine testing mandate on larger employees. A Canadian vaccine mandate for cross-border truck drivers took effect January 15th. FMCSA announced establishment of a younger driver pilot program. Flatbed was responsible for spot market strength in the latest week. Adjusted retail sales fell, but unadjusted sales rose to a record in December. Industrial production changed little in December, while manufacturing output eased slightly. Consumer prices rose 7% during the year. Producer prices in December saw the smallest gain since 2020. And mortgage rates rose sharply in the latest week. So join us next week for our usual discussion of spot metrics, diesel prices. We'll talk about residential construction and anything else that is of interest. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 145 for the week of January 17th, 2022. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next time.
it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.